The first reading is Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and then skipping to 24 to 26. It can be found on page 668 in the Pew Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And now to verse 24. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. This is the word of the Lord.
Taken from the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 13. This can be found on page 1181 of the Pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Your understanding, that we might live wisely. In Jesus' name, amen. Do sit down. This term we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. The main character in Ecclesiastes is called the teacher. He's the one passing on his wisdom in our first reading today. I'm a teacher myself. I teach maths up the road. But there's another job I've always fancied. If we could have a complete change of career, what would we go for? Or if we could have done something different in life, what would it have been? If I could choose a different career, I'd be a demolition expert. I'm sure you've seen the footage, old chimneys and tower blocks being blown up. I'd love to be the person placing the dynamite and pushing that big plunger. Well, in Ecclesiastes, the teacher is a demolition expert. He looks at all our attempts to create meaning in life. He looks at the ways we try to give ourselves significance, and he blows them up. He demolishes all our attempts at meaning and significance. I'm going to be looking carefully at our first reading, so it'd be worth turning it up now. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, page 668 in the Church Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. In this chapter, the teacher demolishes three big tower blocks: pleasure, possessions, and projects. We try to use these tower blocks to give our lives meaning, and the teacher demolishes them one by one. So the first tower block, pleasure. Living for pleasure is meaningless. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. So I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. So what pleasures does the teacher try? Look on to verse 2. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? He first tries the stand-up comedy club. It keeps him entertained. It gives him some side-splitting belly laughs. But what does it accomplish? Is life really all about looking on the bright side of life? Living for laughter is meaningless. Look on to verse 3. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. Now the teacher goes down the pub. He drinks a few beers, but he stays sober enough to continue his investigation. Does alcohol provide a meaning to life? It might provide an escape from the sorrows of life until the hangover next morning, but living for alcohol is meaningless. Look on to verse 8, the second half. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. Next, the teacher goes to the brothel. He has the pick of the women. He indulges his every fantasy. Does sex provide a meaning to life? I'm a great fan of Kate Bush. When I was growing up, she was my favorite singer. But I don't always agree with what she says. Here are some lines from her song, Symphony in Blue. The more I think about sex, the better it gets. Here we have a purpose in life. Well, within a loving marriage, sex is a wonderful gift from God. But even the best sex within the best marriage can never provide a purpose in life. Living for sex is meaningless. The teacher blows up the comedy club. He blows up the pub. He blows up the brothel. Living for pleasure is meaningless. So what about us then? Are we living for pleasure? How can we tell if we're living for pleasure? Well, try answering this question. What is our greatest pleasure? If we have enough time and enough money, what do we spend it doing? We'll all have different answers. My greatest pleasure is solving very hard maths problems. That may be your worst nightmare, but it takes all sorts. Now answer this question. What if we could never do that thing again? Perhaps an illness or a lack of money stops us. Would our lives become meaningless? Do we gain our significance in life from being able to solve very hard maths problems or whatever our greatest pleasure is? Living for pleasure is meaningless. The second tower block, possessions. Living for possessions is meaningless. Look on to verse 26 of chapter 2. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Living for possessions is meaningless. It's like chasing after the wind. I'm reminded of my last holiday in Iceland. Patricia and I have spent the night near the foot of the volcano Hekla. It's getting a bit windy. We take some of the pegs out of our tent to remove the ground sheet. We're folding the orange ground sheet when the rest of the tent takes off. It rolls for several hundred yards. And I'm in hot pursuit, chasing after the tent and the wind. I've finally caught up with our tent. It's stuck on a barbed wire fence, and it's no longer the same shape, and it's no longer waterproof, which is very important in Iceland. I'm chasing after the wind, and it's ultimately pointless. We can spend all our lives chasing after money, but when we catch up with it, it's not the great thing we think it is. Living for possessions is meaningless. So what possessions does the teacher require? Look back to verse 7. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. The teacher goes to the bank. He gets them to check his bank balance. They check his stocks and shares. He goes to his private vault. He checks on all his treasures. He goes back home. He writes an inventory of all his possessions. Slaves, herds, silver, gold. The teacher is the Bill Gates of his time. He is even better paid than teachers at Tunbridge School. Look on to verse 9. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. The teacher's wealth is unimaginable, but it's still meaningless. The teacher blows up the bank. He makes up a pile of all his possessions and blows them up. Living for possessions is meaningless. So what about us then? Are we living for possessions? How can we tell if we're living for possessions? We'll try answering this question. What is our greatest treasure? What do we value above all else? We'll all have different answers, but for many of us it will be our house or our car. I fear for me it's our house. It narrowly beats my collection of Kate Bush CDs and my pocket calculator. Now answer this question. What if we lost that treasure? Perhaps it's stolen, or a lack of money makes us sell it. Would our lives become meaningless? Do we gain our significance from our house or our bank balance or whatever our greatest treasure is? Living for possessions is meaningless. Our third and final tower block, projects. Living for projects is meaningless. Look on to verse 11. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. The teacher goes to the office, and what does he do there? Look back to verse 4. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. For some of us, work can seem a pointless activity, particularly period 7 on a Wednesday. But even if we're lucky enough to have a job, it can seem very routine and uncreative. Not so for the teacher. Houses, vineyards, parks, orchards, reservoirs. He's designing the ultimate garden city, the height of human art and science. But where's it all heading? Look on to the second half of verse 10. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Living for projects is meaningless. I'm reminded of the poem Ozymandias by Percy Bysshe Shelley. I met a traveller from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near to them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Ozymandias is dead. His city disappeared. All those houses and vineyards and parks and orchards and reservoirs have vanished into the Sahara Desert. The teacher blows up the office block. He blows up the factory. He blows up the university. Living for projects is meaningless. So what about us then? Are we living for projects? How can we tell if we're living for projects? Try answering this question. What is our greatest achievement? What are we most proud of? We'll all have different answers. My greatest achievement is my PhD thesis, Finite Presentability of Lie Algebras and Pro-P Groups, 3 years of mathematics written up in 120 pages. Now answer this question. What if that achievement is destroyed? Perhaps someone comes along and changes all our hard work. Perhaps we're made redundant. Or perhaps our achievement is just ignored and forgotten about. Do we gain our significance in life from our PhD thesis or whatever our greatest achievement is? Living for projects is meaningless. The teacher demolishes three big tower blocks: pleasure, possessions, projects. But he's not just demolishing them for fun. He's demolishing these towers for a purpose. He's clearing the ground to build something better. And that's where our second reading comes in from Philippians. The problem with pleasure is it doesn't last. Lasting pleasure is found only in Jesus. Here's what Paul tells the Philippians. I have learnt to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul has learnt to be content because he's come to know Jesus personally. And lasting pleasure is found only in Jesus. The problem with possessions is they don't last. Lasting possessions are found only in Jesus. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul has learnt to be content when he owns nothing. He's content because in Jesus he owns everything. Lasting possessions are found only in Jesus. The problem with projects is they don't last. lasting projects are found only in Jesus. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul can do everything through Jesus because Jesus gives him strength. Teaching the good news, starting churches. Lasting projects are found only in Jesus. In 50 years' time, I'll no longer be able to enjoy maths problems. But God willing, I'll enjoy seeing Jesus face to face. In 50 years' time, I'll no longer own my house. But God willing, I'll own all the treasures of heaven. In 50 years' time, no one will be reading Finite Presentability of Lie Algebras and Pro P Groups. But God willing, there'll be people around who remember something I taught them of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, pray that you would help us not to try and find meaning and significance in earthly pleasures and possessions and projects. But I pray that you would give us strength to do those projects which have lasting value and to look forward to those eternal pleasures and possessions in heaven. In Jesus' name, Amen.